Welcome to this particular Sabbath, brethren. Welcome to the 49th day on the count of 50, because we are counting 50 from the Sabbath within the days of unleavened bread, and this is day 49. So tomorrow will be day 50, which is Pentecost. Now, we're looking at this particular sermon from the aspect of within 4 years, we will arrive within this day, which is day 49, and then on the day 50, we will see the very return of Jesus Christ to this earth. On the day that Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there are many scriptures that will be fulfilled. God has revealed his great power by detailing what will happen on that day, the day of the Lord, that day 50, the day of Pentecost in 2019. On this one day, the day of the Lord, we will see many great events take place. These changes that are going to take place will be, firstly, there is a resurrection. So those that are changed to spirit will witness these events from a unique perspective, from being a spirit being. They will be spirit and therefore see Satan and his angels be removed from their current rulership. The purpose of today's sermon is to explore what God has stated about this last day of man's self-rule, the day of the Lord. The title of today's sermon is On That Day. We will start the sermon by looking at the sixth trumpet, which will lead us into that seventh trumpet, the very return of Jesus Christ. Although Europe will have stepped in to fulfill a power vacuum that is left after the collapse of the United States, there are other countries that will immediately begin to prepare for conquest. They're not going to like what is happening, and therefore they're going to rise up. They're only going to tolerate this resurrection of the Roman Empire for a certain time. They will not have a united Europe exercise control over them. Now, we're referring here to China and other Asian countries and also Russia that will join with them. And they will create an army because of what they see going on, because they see this dominance of a united Europe, and they're not going to want to be controlled by it. We're going to start by looking at Revelation 9, verse 13. Now, Revelation 9, verse 13 is about the second woe. So this is about symbolic language. It is important to remember as we read through most of Revelation that we're going to go through today, that much of it is not understood. We understand aspects as God has revealed it to his church through a prophet, but there's a lot that we don't fully yet understand. Now, as we enter these events, when they begin to happen, well, then we will begin to see more things because we will see the outcome. And when we see the outcome, we'll be reading scripture and seeing what they really mean. And remembering, a lot of this is symbolic language. Therefore, we have a glimpse of things, but we don't understand it all. Revelation 9 and verse 13, we'll start reading. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Now, when we look at this, we understand there were four horns on an altar, which where the sacrifices were placed. But what are the four horns that they would speak? I heard the voice of the four horns of the golden altar. Well, obviously, this is symbolic, and therefore we're going to have to wait to see when this is revealed to the church, which is before God saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were released who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year. So they were prepared for an exact period of time. This is talking about an exact time because God is exact. So there is a day that's going to come when this is going to take place, when we see that this angel will release the four angels, and this is referring to the four angels which are demons or demonic angels, because what do they do? What is the outcome of the releasing of these four angels from this particular place of restraint to kill a third of mankind? The number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. So here we see China and other countries of Asia will form an alliance with Russia that will create an army which will exceed 200 million. Now, 200 million is a massive number. They will have an awesome and fearful power to destroy everything in their path. And this is over a short period of time at the end of this period, 3.5 years and the 50 days. We're in this period somewhere along the line where this is going to take place. And we don't know how long it actually lasts for, really, but it can't last a long period of time because of their destruction. And here we see the ability to kill one third of mankind. Well, we'd be looking at over 2 billion people to be destroyed. We are talking nuclear weapons. We're talking nuclear, because the only way that you could kill a third of mankind in such a period would be because of nuclear weapons. So this awesome power they have, or this terrible power that they have and they unleash on this earth, is because they seek to control. They don't want Europe controlling the world. They seek to control the world. They want total control of the earth. This great woe upon mankind will result in one third of all mankind being destroyed, and therefore we see about 2 billion people being destroyed. We understand human nature because we have it. We've been working on ourselves, controlling ourselves, working on our pride, working on our selfishness. That's why we've been called into the body of Christ, the Church of God, to work on our pride. The perception, the self-perception we have of ourselves, when the reality is we are nothing. Compared to God, we're nothing. We have no power whatsoever. Just the power to think alone was given from God, because God provided the Spirit in man. So often by ourselves, we have no power, but human nature takes everything to itself. Therefore, pride is in all human beings. Pride will drive these two particular nations that have joined together, China and Russia. Pride is going to drive what they're going to do, because they don't want to be dominated. They are better. They're not going to be controlled by somebody else. Mankind will continue to resist God even after all of the horrible events that take place from the previous six trumpets. The effects of those trumpets, which have sounded, the effects are yet to happen. Well, those effects are not going to make a lot of difference to some in the world, because pride is going to run deep, because man is right in his own eyes, and he's going to continue to be right in his own eyes. Well, these particular nations are not going to stand for someone else trying to dominate them. Even though we have seen six trumpets, the effects of those six trumpets take place, now we see that mankind will continue to resist God. Many will continue to resist God. By the end of the period covering the six trumpets, the first six trumpets, several billion people will have already died. So there is billions of people that are going to die because of the effects of the six trumpets. Multiple millions around the world who have been conquered by these two great superpowers will have come to repentance. Yet there will be many who refuse to repent, including the vast populations of these two great superpowers, Russia and China. They will insist on living the life the way they please. They will continue their lifestyle because they're right in their own eyes, and they are right because of pride, because that's all human beings. All humans think they are right, and that's why everyone has a different opinion about something in the world, because everyone is right in their own eyes, as God has said in the books that he has written, that mankind sees himself as right. Others are wrong. Everyone should do it this way, which is the way each individual sees it to be done. Where God has called people, a small group of people, out of that self-righteousness. God has called us to be righteous, which is to take on the very mind of God. So to be righteous is to have the thinking of God. Other than that, if we haven't got righteousness, God's thinking, what have we got? Self-righteousness, which is motivated by pride, being right in our own eyes. Therefore, if we're right in our own eyes, we will insist on living life as we please, the way we see it. Therefore, the people in these two particular countries and the vast areas that have joined in with Russia and China, what we will see, they will live their life as they see, because they are powerful, they are right, and things have to be done their way. Revelation 9, verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulphur yellow. And the heads of the horse were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Well, we understand this is definitely symbolic language being used, and the exact outcome of this, we understand that fire, smoke and brimstone is referring to death and destruction, and also war and nuclear weapons are being used. So this is basically symbolic of what they will do. They will destroy by their power. Verse 18, by these three, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out from their mouths. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So they destroy a third of mankind. Over 2 billion people are destroyed because of their thoughts, their words, and then their actions. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, they weren't attacked by Russia and China, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, the idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. So this is about false religion. This is about falsehood. This is about false gods that man has set up. So even though one third of mankind is destroyed, remembering that prior to this, many of mankind had been destroyed anyway because of the first five trumpets. There were thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that had been destroyed. This uniting of Russia and China destroys billions of people. So what is left? Well, we still see a lot of people that are left, but they're not repenting. There's going to be a small group that God has called to repentance, but the vast majority still will not repent of what they do, which is their own selfishness, their own pride, and setting up their own gods and worshipping God the way they see fit, according to their thoughts, rather than God's word. Verse 21, and they did not repent, they did not change their thinking of their murderers or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Well, this is referring to physical but also spiritually. They don't repent of their hatred, their murders, of their reliance on something else for guidance on anything to do with God, or their relationships, their unlawful relationships, or what they do is steal from God. They haven't repented. They don't turn to God and use his word. So we can see from this, by this point in time, many have repented. Many had been called to repentance that God is going to allow to come into the knowledge of the truth. They will have been humble because they have been conquered by Europe, but also they have been conquered as a nation because of what Russia and China are doing. Those still ruling will continue to live as they please, and they will have no intention of repenting or turning to God because they're right in their own eyes. Now, if we just look at this from a human nature point of view, when somebody is winning or they're considered the most powerful, well, they're considered they're right. They're right in their own eyes, because if they were wrong, they wouldn't be winning. Therefore, because they are winning, they obviously must be right. Well, that's human reasoning. This is a witness of the haughty spirit or the pride in mankind. Unless humbled, unless proven to be wrong, man will not listen to God. Man needs to be humbled to be able to listen to God, because he won't listen because of his own selfishness, because of his own self-righteousness, because of his pride. And because of this pride, God is going to humble mankind. He will humble both superpowers. The last great battle of mankind, described in the book of Revelation in prophecy and known as Armageddon, is an account of these two superpowers converging upon one another and the battle that takes place. So here we see this conflict that is inevitable, which is a united Europe and Russia and China. So there is one great superpower that has been conquering, which is a united Europe. And now we see the emergence or the revealing of another superpower, which is the confederation or the configuration of Russia and China together. Now this means confrontation because of pride. The time coincides with the very end of a period of time that we are going to enter. So there's 3.5 years and then 50 days. Well, we're going to enter a particular time, we don't know the exact beginning of this, when Russia and China, before the return of Jesus Christ, that this is going to take place, because it can't last for a long period of time, because they are going to be destroyed by the return of Jesus Christ. China and her allies will move against the United States of Europe. So Russia and China are going to fight against a united Europe. Now, we understand that a united Europe is filling a void that they see. They see a void because of the collapse of the United States, and they move in to fill a particular void as far as an economy and as far as a world superpower, because you have to have someone in control. Well, Russia and China are not going to put up with it for a long period of time, and they'll get sick of seeing this and realize that they need to make a move so that they are in charge. Otherwise, Europe will be in charge of the world and the world's economy, where they want control of the world economy. These superpowers will pursue a head-on confrontation of military might, since both will be reluctant to use any more nuclear weapons, because they have been using nuclear weapons, because of the enormous destruction already experienced. Because of nuclear weapons, there is going to be an effect on everybody. However, it should be noted that if either begin to lose the battle, so if any of them begin to lose and see they're going to lose, they will use as many weapons as necessary to win. So they're not going to lose. There would be an entire annihilation of all life on Earth if one of these two begin to lose the battle. But God will not allow that to happen. And that is why there is going to be an intervention by God the Father through Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a precise timing. And we know it is on the day of the Lord. We know it is on count 50. So we do know the day that this is going to take place, when Jesus Christ is going to intervene into mankind's life for the purpose of stopping this annihilation. Because man will annihilate every single living thing if given the opportunity, because he will go down in his pride. He will die in his pride, and he would rather die than lose. That's the nature of mankind. Therefore, on this last day, on this day we're talking about, on that day, after the 1260 days plus 49 days, on day 50, God will intervene into the affairs of all mankind and stop mankind from destroying himself. So God is going to intervene through Jesus Christ and stop man from destroying himself. Now, this is precise timing, and remembering that God is all-powerful, God is almighty, and he is in control of his creation. So he will let it go to a point where he needs to intervene. And he knows that day, and it is on the day of Pentecost. It's the beginning of the day of Pentecost. It's on that day that God will stop mankind from destroying himself. So by the end of it, we're going to see a change in government, because during this day, there is mass destruction. There is massive death that is to take place on the day of Pentecost in 2019. So we're only virtually 4 years away from this day. This day is called the day of God's great wrath. It will be the last day of man's self-rule over the past 6,000 years. If God did not intervene, man would destroy all life on earth. This is why God will cut short man's time of self-rule. It's going to be brought to an end. This last day of man's self-rule will be the greatest single day of destruction in all history. But it will also bring the greatest good news to mankind, to man, that anyone could ever hope to imagine, which is the good news, or the gospel, of the kingdom of God, the return of Jesus Christ, and God's government being established on this earth. So although there's going to be all of this destruction that's going to take place over the 3.5 years and the last 50 days, we understand that this is the best thing that can happen to man, that on this day, on that day, God is going to intervene into the life of mankind. Now, this is good news, because then we're going to see peace being brought to the earth. True peace, not man's peace. Man's peace is the absence of war, whereas true peace is the way of thinking. It's the way God thinks. God thinks peace. True peace, it's spiritual in nature. It's just not physical. It's not just the absence of war. Now, just prior to the very return of Jesus Christ, we will see an event take place that is going to be powerful in revealing the power of God. It's going to be an incredible event. So let's turn to Revelation 11, verse 7. Revelation 11, verse 7. We're going to read this event for the purpose of understanding God's great power, because it's God that does this. It's God that provides the proof and the evidence of who he really is. And people will see this, and they will begin to repent because of this very event. Revelation 11, verse 7. Now when they, talking about the two witnesses, finished their testimony, which lasts for 1260 days, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, now this is referring to Satan as much as it is a united Europe, because of the very fact that Satan is heading up this united Europe. He is behind the scenes. Him and some other angels are working because of their deception of mankind. So as the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit will make war against them. Well, we understand that Satan is the one that is released out of a place of restraint. And this is, of course, yet to happen. But we're heading towards this event. And will make war against them, the two witnesses, overcome them and kill them because of his hate for who they represent. His hate for them. And their dead bodies in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Remembering this is a lot about symbolic language. Where also our Lord was impaled on a pole. Verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes and tongues and nations will see their fallen bodies 3.5 days. So this is a period of time where they're actually dead and not allow their bodies, their dead bodies, to be put in the graves. So they're going to be left out to be seen. So they're not hidden. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry. So they're going to rejoice over this because of what they have been saying, and now they can see that they have been stopped, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets, God's two witnesses, tormented, and this is by words and what they did. So words that were spoken and words that were spoken that came to pass because of the various thunders and because of various things that they did say. Because previously it says that when they speak certain things, that no rain would be provided. And so they would prophesy and say certain things as a way of saying, well, if you don't do this, God would strike the earth with all types of plagues as often as they desired, as often as they saw fit, because they represent God and Jesus Christ on this earth at this particular time. The peoples were tormented by these words and the events that took place. Those who dwelt on the earth, these prophets are now overcome by the sense of they are going to die. Verse 11. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. Now this takes us back to the previous sermon series about resurrections, about the return of Jesus Christ and what it really is about. It's about resurrections, a resurrection of life. A resurrection back to true life. This is the first resurrection. So the two witnesses are part of the 144,000. So it is God that raised up Jesus Christ, and it is God that is going to raise up the two witnesses and 144,000. Now we also understand from other scriptures that we have read that the dead in Christ rise first, and then those that remain alive that are in Christ and have been chosen to be part of the 144,000 will follow them in a time order. So here we see at the beginning of the day of Pentecost in 2019, once the sun has gone down and we enter that day, on that day, the day of Pentecost, we're going to see this, that the breath of life from God, this is talking about a spiritual resurrection, entered them. So they're going to be resurrected. And they stood on their feet as part of the 144,000. They're going to be resurrected. And great fear fell on those who saw them. So this is actually about a physical resurrection as well as a spiritual resurrection. Because if the breath of life, physical life, was given to them, but also spirit life was given to them, and they stood on their feet, so there is a physical resurrection as well as a spiritual resurrection. They stood on their feet and they are being seen by other humans. So they're being manifested. Although they are changed to spirit, they are being seen physically. They can be seen. Now, when they're being seen on a physical level by eyes, people are going to see it on a physical level. But they are spirit in composition as well, just like Jesus Christ was. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he was resurrected as spirit. But he manifested himself many a time, and we have read that he was seen by thousands of people to provide evidence as a witness that he was spirit, but could manifest back to physical, to be seen by others. Well, this is the same event here. They are resurrected as spirit. They are spirit being seen on a physical level because they are manifested as physical. So they saw them. Now, what they're going to see is, this can't be true. How can somebody be dead for 3.5 days and then be resurrected? Well, we understand that Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. Well, here we see 3.5 days. And then, at the very return of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ begins his return, this event is going to take place. And they heard, the two witnesses, heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, to the two witnesses, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. So this is a physical manifestation of something spiritual that is going to take place. Now, this is similar to the very return of Jesus Christ. It is spiritual in nature, but there is going to be a manifestation of what is happening on that day, this day of Pentecost. On that day, there is going to be a manifestation of spiritual, so this manifestation can be seen by physical human beings. Now, what that manifestation exactly is, we will know in approximately 4 years' time. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake 7,000 were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God in heaven. Now, we understand a lot of this can be dual, and it's referring to those that are scattered. Verse 14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. The resurrection, the return of Jesus Christ, is coming quickly. The second woe, which we have read about, has now passed. It passes at the resurrection. That's when it actually stops. It stops at the return of Jesus Christ, at the beginning of Pentecost 2019. And now we're entering the third woe, which is what God does on that day. We also understand that on this particular day, at the beginning of the day, we see this resurrection to spirit. In actual order of events on this last day, this will be the first event, which is the resurrection, which we have just seen, this ascending into the heavens in a cloud, and people are going to see it. Well, the rest of the dead will actually be resurrected at that time. In actual order of events, this is how it happens. The day will begin by the appearance in the highest atmosphere of the earth of a large area of dazzling light and a powerful, colorful display which man has never witnessed before, never seen anything like this before. It will be a physical appearance or manifestation of the coming of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that will take place at that very time. All 144,000 who have been trained throughout 6,000 years will be in God's government. This is the first phase of the kingdom of God. They will be resurrected at the beginning of this day. We understand the dead will rise first, and those that remain alive will be changed to follow. It will be at the time of the resurrection of the two witnesses that they, the 144,000, will be resurrected and given eternal life in spirit bodies. The purpose of life, a resurrection, a saving of mankind. We understand 144,000 have been saved, but they have not received their reward, which is a resurrection in spirit bodies. The glory of this event will be seen literally on earth and from the earth by looking up. They'll be able to see it. It will be awesome, yet so fearful for many on the earth. Now, some will know what is happening and some will have no idea at all because they might have heard some things. Others will have heard absolutely nothing about it. So there's going to be great fear that is going to come on the earth. Because many will have this idea of UFOs or invasions from aliens from outer space, because Satan has placed into the minds of mankind about aliens or beings from another planet. And you look at a lot of the movies these days, a lot of it is about how they come back and man engages in fighting against invaders from space. Well, this is actually going to take place because there is a type of invading from space. But it's Jesus Christ coming back to save mankind from himself. Well, mankind, a united Europe and Russia and China, are going to see this and stop their war and turn to fight against what they see as an invasion. Power coming from another location to take over the earth. And that's what's in their minds, and that's the way they think. Now, in this first great event on this last day, on that day, Jesus Christ will be in the heavens above the earth with the 144,000 who have been resurrected. The display from the earth will perplex mankind. They're going to be really worried about it. Some will know the significance and will appreciate the fact and have anticipated the fact that Jesus Christ is coming, while others who still resist will see this awesome display as a threat to their power and existence. Finally, man's reign will now begin to be brought to an end. Revelation 11 verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world, the governments of mankind, have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." They've become part of God's government. They're falling under God's authority now because they've had this independence. So they, the kingdoms of this world, have become under the authority and the rule of God the Father, Yahweh Elohim, and his Christ. And he shall reign over them. God the Father will reign over them through Jesus Christ. So when we say he shall reign over them, so God rules through and by Jesus Christ forever and ever. So this rule, this kingdom, is never going to pass away. It's never going to stop. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sat before God, Yahweh Elohim, on their thrones, their positions of authority as spirit beings, fell on their faces and worshipped God, the creator of all things, their creator. He was the one who gave them their positions of authority, who gave them their thrones to sit on, which is symbolic of authority and rule in a spirit realm, saying, "We," talking about the spirit beings, "we give you thanks, God the Father, O Lord God Almighty," because he is God Almighty, "the one who is," because he was always there, "and who was, and who is to come," he is to come through Jesus Christ, "because you have taken your great power and reigned through Jesus Christ," because God is all-powerful, God is Almighty. And we limit God in many ways in our life because of our human nature. The reality is that God has always been in control. He has always had a plan. That plan was revealed to his church through his holy days, through Leviticus 23. And now the 24 elders are now rejoicing because you have taken your great power and reigned. And he's going to do that through Jesus Christ. So God is now going to bring man into subjection under his authority. Man now is going to have to learn to overcome his pride and his selfishness, because God is now going to implement a change within mankind's government. He's going to change mankind's government, all for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. Verse 18, "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged." So this is a time of judgment. And the 1,000 years that is to follow and the 100 years is really a time of judgment. There is going to be a time of judgment. On this day, on that very day, a judgment is going to take place. "And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints." What is that reward? That reward on that day is a resurrection to spirit. It's referring to the 144,000, your servants, God's servants, the prophets and the saints, the called out ones that have been chosen that have endured to the end. The vast majority, we understand, are dead and in the grave, but there are some that remain alive on this day. And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So God's righteousness is the fact that he is now going to reward those that he has called and chosen for the purpose of being part of the 144,000. But part of this judgment is also, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth, which is a united Europe and Russia and China that have united. These two superpowers. God is going to reward them for their thinking, for what they have done, for their destruction of mankind. And if left to themselves, they would destroy everything, every single thing on this earth. Verse 19. Then the temple of God was open in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there was lightnings, noises and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And we understand at this time it's referring to destruction. So this really is about symbolic language, about a proclamation or an announcement of what will take place on this day, on that very day, on Pentecost of 2019, which is about God's kingdom coming to this earth to rule mankind for 1,100 years. And it's symbolic in the sense of it's actually giving an overview of what will happen. And it's talking in symbolic language, so it's hard to understand every aspect of it, but God goes on in his word and reveals a lot more about this particular day. Revelation 14 and verse 1. Revelation 14 verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion. This is spiritual in nature, and it's symbolic in nature also, because it's referring to the lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and Mount Zion is spiritual Jerusalem. It's Elohim, the family of God. And with him, with Jesus Christ, 144,000 having his, Christ, Father's name written in their foreheads. So it's in their mind. It's the way they think. So this is those that are now first to enter Elohim after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the first of the first fruits. Now we see 144,000 that make up the first fruits, those that enter the very kingdom of God. And God's thinking, God's name, is written in their thinking, in their foreheads, because of the way they think. They are now in Elohim. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, so it's rather loud, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpers playing their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before God's throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, which is 24. And no one could learn that song. This is something now that God is going to place into their thinking. No one else can learn it because it's not placed into their minds, because they now have the same thinking as God. And God can reveal anything he desires into a person's mind so that somebody can now just take on that very thought. So no one can learn it. There's nobody physical can learn it. It's only those that are changed to spirit at a time, 144,000. No one can learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed, who have been separated from the earth. So they were once physical and human, and had human nature, but they have been redeemed or purchased or separated from the earth. How was that done? Well, they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ paid for the penalty of sin, and they were in a state of repentance their whole life. And when they died, and those that remained alive, were in a state of repentance. They were in Jesus Christ. They were in the Spirit of God. God's Spirit lived and dwelt within them. And that's how they have been redeemed from the earth. They remained in the faith. What they were given, whatever that was from God, they believed it and they lived it. They yielded to God's Spirit. Now, they did sin. Every single one of the 144,000 have sinned in their life. But They stayed with God. They stayed in the faith during that whole time. And therefore, they were accounted worthy to be resurrected because they were chosen by God because of their willingness to yield to God's Spirit in their thinking. Verse 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. This is referring to false thinking, a false way of being, which is false religion or false doctrine, strange doctrines or wrong thinking, satanic thinking, for example, or selfish thinking. So we weren't defiled by it because they overcome it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the gift of repentance. They overcame their own selfishness. They implemented self-control into their life. So they weren't defiled or polluted by false thinking. For they are virgins. They have become virgins. They have become pure through the power of God's Holy Spirit, because God's Holy Spirit in a person makes a person pure. Pure thinking. So it's all going back to the way we think. So they have become pure in thinking because they have yielded to God's Holy Spirit. Because only God's Spirit is pure. Because only God's Spirit is clean. Because of and by ourselves we are unclean and we're defiled. So here they are. These have become virgins because of the power of God's Holy Spirit. These are the ones who follow the Lamb. They follow Jesus Christ. Now this is spiritual in nature. So they have become at one with God, and by that they have become at one with Jesus Christ. And therefore they will follow, because it's spiritual in nature, it's the way they think, and they will follow wherever he, Jesus Christ, goes. So wherever he leads them in spirit and truth, they will follow, because they are spirit in composition. They are now of God, because they're in Elohim, just like Jesus Christ is. They have the same thinking. They have righteousness as a way of thinking, and they cannot sin. They can't go off in their own direction. There's no desire within them to do that. They are of God and in Jesus Christ. These were redeemed. These have been purchased from among men. They have been saved from among mankind. The purpose of life, to be saved, to be in a resurrection, to be saved. Being first to God and to the Lamb. So they are now first to enter Elohim. They are the beginning of God's family. Jesus Christ was the first to enter Elohim. He is the first. He is the first to be resurrected. Well, now the 144,000 are now in God's family. And now they are the first to God and to the Lamb. Isn't this incredible? They are the first. They are to follow God for the rest of their life because that is their desire. Now we understand that this is about wave loaves and what actually took place on the day of Pentecost. The wave loaves, of course, are about this very resurrection of the 144,000 being redeemed from among men. And in their mouths was found no guile. There's no deceit, no sin, no falsehood in them, because they are now part of God's family. For they are without fault. God has justified them. God has cleansed them by the very sacrifice of Jesus Christ has been applied to their life. Sin has been forgiven. Sin has been conquered because they're without fault before the throne of God. Now verse 6 is going to start a summary of the things that are going to take place. And some of this is still in symbolic language. We can understand aspects of it. But it's actually an overview of the outcome of this very day. So on that day, what is going to take place is the destruction of man's governments. Verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him, God the Father, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. So this is about the good news of a gospel of the kingdom of God, and the outcome of it is, what does a person need to do? Well, if we hear about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, what do we have to do? Learn to fear God and give glory to him. Give him the praise, give him the credit for the creation. It is God that is almighty. It is God that is all powerful. And nothing can be compared to God. There is nothing even like God. Only God is all powerful and almighty, and he is in control of all things. But man, being self-righteous, being filled with pride, has lifted everything up, including himself, to be against God. And therefore mankind does not fear God. Well, this angel is crying out with a loud voice saying, "Fear God and give glory to God." And another angel saying, "Babylon is fallen." Man's system and Satan's government, his way of thinking, his confusion, Babylon, is fallen. So confusion is fallen. That great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. These unlawful relationships. They have followed the Catholic Church and Satan. They're thinking, well, Babylon, the confusion in religion, the confusion in governments, is all going to be destroyed on that day. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast," which is talking about this system of thinking, the system of government, confusion, Sunday worship, "anyone who worships the beast and his image," which is referring to this way of thinking of worshipping the sun on Sunday, because it's polluted thinking, and it needs to be destroyed, this pollution, this Babylon, this confusion. Well, anyone who worships this system, the religious system of worshipping on a Sunday instead of keeping God's Sabbath, and receives his mark on their forehead, in their thinking, in their thoughts, and on his hand, because of the actions, which is to do with Sunday worship and about any relationship with the Catholic Church and their beliefs, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So anybody who wants to stick to Sunday worship, who wants to follow the beliefs and the thinking of the Catholic Church, is going to have to drink of what God is going to pour out, which is the wrath of God, which is this final day of destruction. So a person needs to change their thinking and repent to acknowledge that they are wrong. Otherwise, they're going to suffer this outpouring of what God is going to do on that day, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. So it's all going to happen on that day, the day of the Lord. "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of these holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb," which is all going to take place on this very last day, the return of Jesus Christ. The seven last plagues are going to be poured out, and therefore they will suffer and be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, who are spirit, who are seeing all this, with 144,000 who are spirit and seeing all this. They're going to see the power of God at work and the might of God all through Jesus Christ on this day, and in the presence of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So this is going to take place on that day. Verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascends for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name," which is to do with a way of government, a way of thinking. So it's going to last as long as it lasts, in other words, until it is finished. The result of this day will end. The day of the Lord will come to an end on the day of Pentecost. At the end of the day of Pentecost, it comes to an end. It will be finished. So they're going to be tormented during this day because they have turned to worship something false. They're following a false system, and their thinking is wrong because they are not turning to God. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." So they must learn to change. They have to come to see they need to change. But here is the patience of the saints, those that are keeping God's commandment in spirit and truth, and the faith of Jesus Christ. So these are the people that have God's spirit, whereas the others do not have God's Holy Spirit because they're worshipping something false, and therefore they're going to have to pay a penalty on that day. Verse 13, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." So blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, from this point forward. Yes, the Spirit says, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So there's going to be an outcome. So anybody who dies, there is an outcome. Because of what they did, what they ended up believing, there is going to be a reward that is going to be given. That whatever takes place, a person is either blessed or cursed. So blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, because we have to have God's Holy Spirit from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, from being physical, from fighting against themselves, or not fighting against themselves, it's still a labor of being physical, or laboring in their minds. And their works, what the outcome of what they did, the effort they put in, will follow them. There's going to be a reward for either fighting against self or not fighting against self. And here it's referring to blessed. It's fortunate for those that die in the Lord, those that have fought against themselves. Verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So this is all about symbolic language pointing to authority and something that is going to take place, because we understand crowns are about positions of authority. So here we have something that is symbolic that's pointing to Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ will do. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, which is talking about Jesus Christ, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So the time has happened. This is on that day. It is time to reap, to harvest. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped, referring to 144,000, that God is going to harvest on this day. Verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the wine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And this is symbolically talking about a harvest is going to take place, or gather the cluster, the nations, for the vine of the earth, which is the fruit of the earth and all the nations of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So it's time to now harvest. It's the time to punish mankind for their sins, for their thinking. The two great superpowers are now going to be struck with destruction, because they're going to be rewarded for destroying the earth. So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, which is talking about death. So time is up, and on this day there is going to be massive destruction. Verse 20. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs, which is about 180 miles. Well, we understand that this talks about a final destruction, and this event is going to take place, and it's virtually pointing to a time of destruction by God, who has intervened into this earth, and Jesus Christ is going to harvest 144,000, and the other angels are going to go out and destroy mankind for what he has done. Revelation 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. On that day, this third woe is going to be achieved in one day. It just takes place in a 24-hour period. So the seven angels now have these seven last plagues, which are the anger of God, or the wrath of God, or the reward for rebellion. The reward for rebellion, which is death. Now the wrath of God is complete. It's going to be completed by the end of this day of Pentecost. And I saw something like the sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. So this is now referring to the 144,000, who are now standing what looks like a sea of glass. Now, symbolically, we understand that this is about a level that exists over the earth like a sea of glass. It's something like a sea of glass. And they're standing on it, which means they're standing in the air, and they're having the harps of God. This is talking about those that have been changed to spirit. They are a spirit essence. And the sea of glass is something that is of spirit essence. This is simply referring to the 144,000 that have gained victory over the beast, over the false system of confusion, over the image, what it portrayed, which is Sunday worship, the mark of the beast, over the image, and over his name, and over his mark, which is to do with Sunday worship, standing on the sea of glass. They are now spirit in Elohim with Jesus Christ. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works," referring to God, "Lord God Almighty," because what God does is righteous, because this is the reward for those that are going to be against God. "Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints," because we understand God is King, and Jesus Christ is representing God as King of kings. "Who shall not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name," talking about Yahweh Elohim, "for you alone are holy," because it all started with God. God alone is holy. And therefore, anything else that comes out to be holy or considered holy has to have God living or dwelling in it, because it's God that makes something holy. And therefore, Jesus Christ is holy because God is in him. He is the thinking of God. Well, we, brethren, are only holy if God lives and dwells in us. "For you, God, alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you." And this is what we do on Sabbaths and holy days. We come before God and worship God. We worship God the Father. "For your judgments have been manifested," have been revealed. Verse 5. "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven last plagues," or the seven plagues, "clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands." Verse 7. "Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever." So this is just punishment that is going to be poured out on mankind that is in rebellion against God. "The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one," that's nothing, "was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." So during this day, which is on this last day, we're going to see magnificent things from God, and they're going to be things done in righteousness. They're not unjust. They are just. They are right. This is the best thing that could happen to mankind that is in rebellion against God. Revelation 16, verse 1. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" So this is that day of Pentecost, and it's going to happen during this day. And it all happens within a 24-hour period of this day. The first bowl is going to be poured out. Verse 2. "So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast." This is referring to those in Europe and those that are following the Catholic Church, their belief system, and those who worship his image, which is referring to the implementation of Sunday worship, because there is a time that's going to come where people are going to turn to the Catholic Church more and more, and they're going to hang on to their beliefs. So these men are going to come down with a grievous or loathsome sore that's going to come upon them, and it's going to be causing agony. It's going to be painful to have this sore. "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died," so that every life in the sea died. So the sea is going to be congealed, because referring to blood is talking about a congealing that is going to take place. And living creatures that are in the sea are going to die. verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. So water is now going to be congealed, and it's not going to be drinkable. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O God," because it's God's will that is done. It's God's desire to save mankind. These are the best things that can happen to mankind because of his rebellion. You are righteous. It's a right way of thinking, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. So it's righteous judgment. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. So why is all this taking place? Why is this reward being given to mankind? Because of what they did. They have shed the blood. They have killed those that God has sent. They haven't listened to those that God has sent. So God is going to now pour out just judgment. He's going to be righteous in his thinking. It's a reward. It's a sow and reap. Want to be in rebellion against your Creator? There's a penalty to be paid. There is a curse that's going to come to a person who is in rebellion against God. And you, God, have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. It's what they deserve because of what they've done. They've killed God's saints, God's people, and they've killed the prophets, those that God has sent, those God has spoken in and through. Mankind has got rid of them. Mankind has destroyed them because mankind didn't want to listen. Verse 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So this is all just punishment. This is true justice being delivered, where mankind cannot deliver true justice or true judgment. It's not possible because he uses his natural carnal mind. Verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. So now the sun is being affected, and because of this great heat, mankind is going to suffer. So this day is going to be a shocking day for many a mankind because of the punishment that is being poured out. And they're going to come to understand that God is almighty and that God is all powerful. Some are going to die because of their hanging on to what they believe. They're going to die in their belief system. Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. So they still spoke against God, who has power over these plagues, because God is almighty, and God can do as God desires. Now we have read previously about what God has planned, and now we're reading what God has planned here on this day. On this very day, God is going to do these things. His word is true, and this is coming. This is coming on this particular day. And they did not repent. They did not change their thinking and give him, God, glory. So they're going to hang on to their own belief system. They're going to hang on to their self-righteousness. They're right in their own eyes, and they're not going to repent because of what is happening. Now, they may realize that this is coming from another power, but they may not understand that it's actually Yahweh Elohim. But they're going to speak against God. They're going to blame God for what is happening. And that's the key. They're going to blame God for what is happening, but they're not going to change. They're simply going to accuse God or blame God for what he is doing. And yet God is doing it in righteousness. It's what man deserves because of his rebellion. Verse 10, the fifth plague. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, which is talking about Europe, and his kingdom became full of darkness. So it's going to be pitch black. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Now, when you see darkness, what happens normally is cold enters. Because when it's pitch black and it's so dark, there's no sun to heat an area, it becomes quite cold. So there's going to be great pain and sorrow. And when it's full of darkness, it's going to be full of pain and anguish and sorrow, because when it's pitch black, it's terrible to be in that environment. The mind can get confused, but also there's going to be a suffering mentally as much as physically. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So here we see these things being poured out on Europe, and we see that they've got the sores, and they have got this pain because of it, and they've got this darkness, but they're still not changing their thinking. They're still speaking against God. Verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. So this is now during the day. We've seen these things happen. So now this is coming to the later period of the day. We see it's progressive over time that they've poured out in an order. And now we see this taking place where the great river Euphrates is dried up and its waters were dried up so that the way of the kings of the east, Russia and China, might be prepared. Now we understand a lot of this is symbolic, so we're not dead sure about every aspect of it. We can only come to the conclusion that this is actually going to take place because God has said. Now exactly what takes place, we're not sure. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And of course that's referring to false religion or the Catholic Church. So here we see now three spirit beings that are coming out. And of course it's talking about coming out from Satan's instructions, coming out of a united Europe, a beast, and also out of the Catholic Church. So these three spirit beings are now released and they've come out to do something in particular. Verse 14, for they are spirits of demons performing signs. So this is about a collective way of thinking. And it's about a spirit realm that has affected mankind, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. On that day, we're going to see that mankind's thinking is going to be turned towards fighting against God. They may not fully understand that it is God, but they're going to turn and their thinking has been influenced. And Satan's government and his religious system is going to turn against God, to fight against God. Behold, I am coming as a thief. So people are to watch spiritually about what is happening. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now this is referring as an insert here. Behold, I am coming. Jesus Christ is coming as a thief. Now we have seen this actually take place in God's church where people are not watching spiritually and God's spirit is taken away from them because they are not watching their spiritual condition. They're not keeping their garments. They're not keeping their thinking, what they're clothed with, righteousness. They should be clothed with righteousness. Well, they're not keeping the righteousness, not keeping God's thinking in their mind. They're putting on a different garment and that is the garment of self-righteousness. The garment of pride, lest he walk naked, because we're walking naked using the natural carnal mind, and they see his nakedness or they see his shame, because it's a shameful thing to not have God's Holy Spirit in use in our life. Once called, we should have God's Holy Spirit. Now this insert is referring to during all of this taking place, the most important thing anybody could do would be to be watching spiritually, to watch our spiritual condition. So we should be aware, even on this very day of the Lord, we should be watching our spiritual condition, watching our attitude, keeping our garments, because we don't want to be seen naked. We do not want to be seen naked. And to be seen naked is not to have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. And they gathered them, and it's referring to these particular nations, together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. We understand that there is a place about 90 kilometers away from Jerusalem, but also this is symbolic in language because it's talking about a nation that is going to turn on God, on Jesus Christ as he returns. So we have symbolic language because it's about an attitude that is going to take place. They haven't been repenting. Now they're going to turn to fight against Jesus Christ because of what is taking place. Verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It's done. This plague has now been poured out, and now we're going to see destruction. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake or a great shaking, such a mighty and great earthquake, such a great shaking, as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, men have been on the earth for 6,000 years. So this great shaking that is going to take place is going to be the power of God being revealed. Now, the great city, talking about Rome, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. So we're going to see now the fall of mankind and all the nations of mankind. This shaking is going to take place, is going to destroy the nations of the earth, the governments of the earth, and many of the buildings are going to be destroyed. And great Babylon was remembered before God. So everything that man has built is going to be destroyed on this day. And Babylon, the confusion that has been set up by Satan and mankind, is going to be remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Because God knows this system. God knows it all needs to be destroyed because it is not of God. Verse 20. Then every island fled. So all of the small governments, every island fled away, which means all the small governments are going to be destroyed. And the mountains, the bigger governments, were not found. They're all going to be destroyed. There's going to be a total collapse of all of man's governments. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. So this is a great destruction that's going to take place. Every hailstone about the weight of a talent, which is about 45 kilos to 50 kilos in weight. Those in pounds, I believe it's about 100 to 120 pounds they're about. So they're massive. Now you imagine dropping something as heavy as that on houses, on mankind, and it will actually destroy. There have been hailstones as big as golf balls and big as oranges that have fallen in Australia at various places. And when they fall, because of the weight of them, which is small compared to this, and they hit crops and they hit buildings, they punch holes in roofs, they dent cars, and they wipe out whole crops of corn and wheat, destroys them completely. Well, we can imagine what this is going to be like. It's going to be horrendous. Now, some of us won't see it. And the reason we won't see it, because this is being poured out in a particular location where man has rebelled. So it's talking about Russia and China and also a united Europe. So this is where these events take place. It doesn't say it's going to take place on every aspect of the earth or all areas of the earth. But this is God's wrath on those that are in rebellion. The way to avoid it is those that aren't in rebellion will not have to suffer these plagues. These seven plagues will not be affecting certain areas of the earth because people will be in a condition of repentance. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. So this is about bringing down the total destruction of Satan's system that has ruled this earth. Everything will be brought down. Everything will be collapsed so that Jesus Christ can reign on the next day as King of Kings over mankind to set up a new government. The reality is that on this day of Pentecost, that on that day, Jesus Christ starts his reign. But he starts the reign with destruction by bringing mankind down. Mankind is no longer in a power or in authority over himself at the beginning of this day. But once it's all over, once that day is complete, then we see the millennium start. The 1,000 years begins because it starts in peace. Jesus Christ is bringing peace to this earth, but the way to bring peace is through the destruction of a false system, the destruction of Babylon, the destruction of confusion, the total collapse of all false religion, of all governments. There's got to be just one government. This plague will be the final blow, which will completely destroy all the remaining governments on this earth, government structures of both the superpowers. The entire infrastructure of all these countries will collapse. This destruction will prove to be overwhelming. The death toll will mount to tens of millions of people. These two great armies are still fighting each other until this last plague is being poured out. And during this plague, they will stop fighting. Because that's what it takes, brethren. It takes the humbling of mankind. And it takes the humbling of both these superpowers. Both these superpowers will receive word on the scale of the destruction of their home countries. They will no longer fear each other. They will fear what they now see, the source of their demise. They will see the movement of that which will glow in the heavens. They will not understand what it is, but they will see it moving towards them. At the end of the seventh plague, Jesus Christ and his spiritual army of 144,000 new members of the God family begin moving towards the location where the two great superpowers are. Revelation 17 verse 13. Picking up a thought flow here. Revelation 17 verse 13. These are of one mind, talking about a united Europe, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So they are in full agreement. Now this is, of course, talking about a united Europe with 10 nations and the head nation being led by Germany. Verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, with Jesus Christ, and the Lamb will overcome them on the day of the Lord. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Talking about Jesus Christ, who has been appointed as Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him, with Jesus Christ, are called, chosen, and faithful. Referring to the 144,000. So this is now a summary of what will actually take place. We've been through what will actually take place. Well, this scripture is now just pointing us to a united Europe is going to be destroyed by the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and with him are those who over 6,000 years have been called by God, have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in them, and they have been chosen by God to rule in a government, in a millennial government of 1,000 years. And they are chosen by God, and they are faithful to their calling. They are faithful. They have endured to the end, fighting against their own nature, relying on God, relying on God's word. Revelation 18 verse 1. Revelation 18 verse 1. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, which is this world system of confusion, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons and the prison of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So these things are symbolic in language, and it's talking about a spirit world. The demons are going to be removed. The demons, unclean spirits, are going to be removed from the government. It's going to be removed completely because now it's righteous government. It's God's government on this earth, and Babylon, the confusion, the demonic system, is going to fall. It is fallen. So man's system is going to fall, but also the spirit system that man has been under is going to change. It's going to fall. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, of false doctrine, these unlawful relationships that they have entered into, this idolatry. The kings of the earth have committed fornication, they've had a relationship with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury, which is this trading system, that is, which is the attitude and the way of get. That is the way mankind has become wealthy. It's through get. It's through attitudes of selfishness. It's an attitude of getting for self at the expense of anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. Well, the nations of the earth have become drunk on the wine of the wrath of her fornication, this unlawful relationship, false doctrine, and a wrong way of thinking. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Talking about us, brethren, we're to come out of this way of thinking, this system of confusion, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. This is talking about the seven last plagues that we just went through. So we, brethren, have been called out of this way of thinking, and if we don't come out of this way of thinking, or if we come out of it and then go back, unless we repent, we will receive the plagues of her suffering. So we have to come out of this way of thinking of selfishness. Verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So over 6,000 years, God has not forgotten the thinking of mankind, this way of thinking, of falsehood, of self-righteousness, and of hate, and of murder, and of getting for self. God has not forgotten the system that man has set up under the sway of Satan and his demons. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, to her actions, to her thoughts. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. Pay her back double what she has given out. She has destroyed God's prophets. She has destroyed God's people. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. This is about pride and self-righteousness. This is that world system that's been set up. I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. So there's no repentance here. It's just simply an attitude of pride. Therefore her, Babylon, therefore her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So this day of the Lord is going to be total destruction of man's system. This Babylonian system, this destruction of man's way of thinking. Billions are going to die on that day. Revelation 19 verse 11. Revelation 19 verse 11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he, Jesus Christ, who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, which is in the thinking of God, he judges and makes war. So on this day of Pentecost, it's Jesus Christ that makes war because he has the thinking of God. And he does it in righteousness because he has God's thinking. Now this is symbolic language and it is like things. It's not exactly as these things, but it says like. Verse 12. His, Jesus Christ's, eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, many positions of authority, because crowns are symbolic of authority. He, Jesus Christ, had a name written that no one knew except himself. He, Jesus Christ, was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now this is a wonderful scripture really, brethren, because the Logos of God, it's Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God. Jesus Christ had the very thinking of God. He was the Word of God. Therefore, everything that Jesus Christ does on that day is the thinking of God. He represents God's thinking. He is the Word of God, because God planned all of this from the very beginning. What is has already been. So what is happening on this day has already been planned and therefore will happen exactly. And Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. He will fulfill God's Word, what is written, what God has planned. Jesus Christ will implement it and achieve it. Verse 14, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him, Jesus Christ, on white horses. This is speaking symbolically, but the 144,000 who are the saints will follow Jesus Christ wherever he goes. We understand that. And they are clothed in fine linen. Fine linen is symbolic of righteousness. So these are the ones that have been redeemed from the earth. And they are righteous because they have the thinking of God. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Let's go back over this. Now out of his mouth, what is spoken, goes a sharp sword. Well, we understand that is the Word of God. So what he speaks is the words of God. And what he speaks will happen, because he has the power and authority of God. That with it, with these very words that he speaks, he should strike the nations. He should pour out the wrath of God. So whatever he says will happen. And he himself, Jesus Christ, will rule them, he will govern them with a rod of iron. This is now loving authority, this is correction, and it is all for the benefit of mankind. And this is symbolic language, of course. But he is going to strike the nations with the rod of iron. So he's going to rule them and he's going to correct them. He himself, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. So this winepress is the very fact that God is going to crush and destroy those that are in rebellion against him. False religion, Satan's system, will be destroyed at that time because God is going to pour out his wrath against sin, against rebellion, and Jesus Christ is going to do it representing God Almighty. Verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he represents God the Father, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Jesus Christ is coming to this earth representing God the Father, and Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. And the Father does it all through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was created and made for the purpose of being a king, King of the Jews, King of Israel, and King over all mankind, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're going to be under the rule and the power of Jesus Christ, and under him, 144,000. Now this is an incredible day. On that day, it's going to be a marvelous event that takes place, because the end result of that day is the rulership of Jesus Christ on this earth to implement peace. Verse 17, and I saw another angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. So this is actually the day of the Lord that's going to take place. Now we understand birds eat flesh. That you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and of those who sit on them. So mankind is going to be destroyed. And the flesh of all, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, which is the 10 nations of Europe, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together. So this is that very time period. To make war against him, to make war against Jesus Christ, to make war against God, really, who sat on the horse and against his army, the 144,000. Then the beast, talking about those 10 nations of Europe, was captured, in other words, was taken, and with this, the false prophet, which is to do with Roman Empire, with the influence of the Catholic Church, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So this is about false religion. These two, or both of them, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is talking about a total destruction, which is death. So these things, this way of government and false religion, is going to be destroyed. And the rest were killed with the sword that proceeds out of the mouth of him, Jesus Christ, who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. This is talking about total destruction. Now at the end of the day of the Lord, Revelation 20, verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. This is talking about restraint, and now the ability to restrain Satan and his demons. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So this is a period of time at the end of that day that Satan will be removed. And he cast him into a bottomless pit. He restrained him and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more. Because that's the issue, this deception. 6,000 years of deception is coming to an end forever on mankind. Till the 1,000 years was finished. So all of this period, it actually is 1,000 years and 100 years. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them, and I saw the lives of those who were cut off for their witness of Jesus. They had God living and dwelling in them. They had the life of Jesus Christ living and dwelling in them. They had God's thinking. They had Jesus Christ living and dwelling in them. So it is about the way they lived. They were cut off from the world system because of the way they lived, and for the word of God, for Jesus Christ, and for God's thinking. They were cut off from the world system. They had come out of Babylon, come out of her, my people, for the word of God, for the Logos of God, because they believed God, who did not worship the beast. They had nothing to do with this false way of thinking or his image, and had not received his mark in their foreheads, in their thinking, or in their hands, their actions. They did not worship on a Sunday. They kept the Sabbath and the holy days. And they, the 144,000, lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, this is an incredible event. So we see on this day that the 144,000 will be resurrected to reign with Jesus Christ. So on that day, there's going to be a lot of death and destruction. But the end result is the introduction and the implementation of peace. The removal of Satan and the demons guarantees peace.